Today's episode of the Can Be Now podcast is brought to you by Gustafson Insurance, business, home, and auto insurance made simple. For a free quote, call 503-266-2216.
They only listen to me half the time anyway, right?
You think it's that high? Wow, that's generous.
Yes! Go, Cammy!
This is an intervention.
Oh.
Not voting.
Oh, okay.
That is the coolest coffee trick I've ever seen.
I'm gonna put a little bit more blackberry.
End of podcast because of that.
I owe you some audio equipment.
Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
Close to 250 people crammed into the second-story ballroom of the Backstop Bar and Grill in Canby on Sunday to hear from Alex Gino, a non-binary author whose debut novel about a transgender fourth grader was removed from the local reading list for the Oregon Battle of the Books by the Canby School District. Alex, who uses they, them, and their pronouns, shared about their experiences as both an author and a genderqueer person. One who, unlike Melissa, the protagonist in their award-winning novel, George, grew up without a strong support network of family and friends, or even language to understand who they were.
Opinions are changed by personal connections. Whether that personal connection be an actual real life person in flesh, or that personal connection be someone in a book. Like, that's how many of us find ourselves, is through story. I found the word genderqueer when I was 19. And I took it, I consumed it, I ate it because it was already me. I just needed to see it somewhere to have that language.
The event was organized and sponsored by Victory Point Property Group and the Book Nook. Victory Point Realtor Sarah Spoon, also a Canby City Councilor, said they began planning the event about 6 months ago, back in the fall, and this date just happened to work with Alex's schedule. They were going to be in the Portland area this week for some other events. There were also some supportive organizations in attendance offering free resources for local LGBTQ youth and families, including Basic Rights Oregon, the Fierce Family Networks, PFLAG, GLSEN, and the Canby Transgender Alliance, a group that formed just this past week. Given that the event fell on March 31st, International Transgender Day of Visibility, Alex did something they don't usually do at these kind of events. They read the ending of George, in which Melissa publicly presents herself as a girl for the first time during a trip to the zoo with her friend Kelly. They also answered questions from the audience, the majority of them from the many children who were in attendance.
Oh, why did you choose the name George? The original name George for Moses. Is there like a reason that happened in your life that you chose that name?
So why the name George? If you have the name George and you love it, please ignore me. If you had the name George and you didn't like it, or if I had the name George and I didn't like it, it feels like a rock to me. It's got all that curve on it, it's got a real, like, guttural sound. George kind of, like, sits here where I don't want it. The name Melissa, to me, sounds like someone twirling. Melissa. And that's not how everyone hates those names. Not everyone Melissa goes around twirling all the time. That's how the name sounds.
The crowd overall was a diverse mix. Some identified as part of the LGBTQ community, but many did not. Some had traveled down from Portland, but the vast majority seemed to be from around here. Canby, Malala, Colton, and Aurora. They were old and young, kids and parents, wholehearted supporters, and folks who were just curious what all the fuss was about. And if you'd like to hear for yourself, you can find our recording of the full event elsewhere in our pod stream. As someone who has attended a lot of community gatherings, both in Canby and elsewhere, it has been a long time since I personally have seen a crowd so supportive, enthusiastic, and engaged. Alex was interrupted frequently by laughter and applause. Most everyone who asked the question was applauded as well, just for asking the question. The line to have a book signed wrapped around the room and took almost an hour to get through, and no one seemed upset about it. Plus, I didn't hear a single complaint about parking in downtown Canby. The positivity was contagious. Outside, there was not the furor that some had quietly feared. Anyone who wanted to attend was graciously welcomed. There was no protest, no angry chants, just a handful of people who drove slowly by taking cell phone photos and videos they attempted to post to Camby Facebook groups, most of which didn't stay up for very long. The interest of these would-be paparazzi was most likely three members of the Portland Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, a nonprofit dedicated to the support, education, and development of the LGBT community. Oh, they're also men who dress in drag with elaborate headdresses and makeup. I asked them if the organizers had requested their presence at the event. No, they said. They said they decided to come after seeing stories in Portland and LGBTQ media outlets about the March 20th Camby City Council meeting, at which several community members spoke against a proclamation that would have recognized transgender people, a proclamation the mayor had already privately denied before the meeting began. We just wanted to support the community down here, they said. I had expected the March 20th meeting to be a sort of focal point of this event, the story and the turmoil it had generated on social media. It's certainly been a big part of my experience over the previous week. But that one comment from the sisters outside was the only time I heard it mentioned. Alex was aware of what had happened, but didn't bring it up during their talk, and nobody asked about it in the Q&A. I also expected to feel out of place as a straight, cisgender man who only just recently learned what the word cisgender means. But I was wrong about that too. As a reporter, you often feel like a trespasser in someone else's world, whether you've been invited in or not. But not there. I felt completely welcome, and that was very much appreciated. The Camby School District Board of Directors met last month and unanimously approved a contract to replace the high school's failing athletic field for $412,171. The contract was awarded to FieldTurf, a global leader in artificial sports fields, an industry they revolutionized in the 1990s with their design that more accurately replicated real grass. The district's plan is to have the field replaced following graduation on June 7th. The project will be paid for out of the district's turf replacement fund, which has a current balance of more than $300,000, and $100,000 from a contingency account in the 2018-19 fiscal year budget. Finance Director Denise Lapp recommended that moving forward, the district set aside $35,000 each year from the general fund budget for future field replacements. Field revenues and interest will also be added to cover this cost. Although artificial fields offer numerous advantages over grass, including reduced maintenance costs and the ability to use them on a year-round basis, one disadvantage is that they do have to be replaced every 8 to 10 years. The current field, which was built in 2010 through a local fundraising campaign that raised more than $950,000, needed to install the turf and all the underlying infrastructure, was declared unfit for use for the current spring sports season.
Police beat for the week of March 5th through the 11th. On March 5th at 11:45 p.m., officers received a report of a man lying face down at the edge of the road and then getting up and staggering away. The officers quickly located the intoxicated man at a nearby car dealership on Highway 99E. The dealership was closed, but that wasn't stopping the man from, quote, aggressively attempting to gain entry into parked vehicles. After failing to cooperate and threatening the officers, he was taken into custody for unlawful entry into a motor vehicle, criminal trespass, resisting arrest, and a Multnomah County parole violation detainer. On March 6 at 3:33 p.m., officers received a report of an unlocked bike being stolen from outside of the front of a store on Southeast 1st Avenue. In other news, water is wet. These are things you should know. Like, lock your bike. All the time. On March 7th at 9:12 p.m., after receiving a report of a vehicle being driven erratically, an officer located the suspect vehicle and conducted a traffic stop. The driver was subsequently arrested for driving under the influence and cited for open container and reckless driving. On March 8th, just after midnight, police received a report of eggs being thrown at the front door of a home on North Pine Street. I mean, it's a classic prank. We all love it. But you missed Halloween by about 5 months. So I think maybe you need some better aim. Later that day at 10:30 p.m., an uninsured vehicle being driven by a suspended driver was ordered to be towed on South Barlow Road. The officer provided the driver with a ride to a friend's house nearby. Super nice of him. Finally, on March 11th at 1:38 p.m., officers responded to a report of an attempted fraud when a caller contacted a potential victim and told them that they were the suspect in a criminal investigation. And you want to guess what the guy told the caller they had to do? That's right. Withdraw money from their bank account and purchase some gift cards. Because anyone who has ever been the subject of a criminal investigation knows how handy a few gift cards can be in that situation.
Thursday is the new Friday as downtown Canby merchants and small businesses across town come together to celebrate First Thursday, the monthly event where stores stay open later, have special discounts and other sales, and who knows, maybe even get a little crazy. You never know what can happen on First Thursday, but to get some idea, we caught up with Calvin Lesser, the city's economic development and tourism coordinator, to tell us a little bit about some of the fun stuff you might expect to see and experience in downtown Canby tonight. Tonight is First Thursday again.
Yes.
It's the second First Thursday, which is not hard to say at all. So.
Right, yeah, it's the second First Thursday.
Day of, especially since it always has been
It's
Friday.
April 4th, let's put it that way.
April 4th. It's tonight. There's a few different things going on. Can you tell us about them?
Absolutely. So let's start with a new fun and exciting one over at Vanessa Zimmerman Academy Mortgage, which is in the beautiful Bell Building.
Bell Building, yeah.
Which is on Northwest 1st Ave.
Yes.
It's got that sort of, I don't know what metal, copper, I think, front.
It's or Bell metal, looking. I think. It's made from old bells.
Old bells.
Yeah, yeah. But it is a beautiful, very striking building downtown.
So, yeah, it's Vanessa Zimmerman Academy Mortgage.
Okay.
So she can discuss all your mortgage options. She has some actually really good sheets that she showed me how much money I'm wasting by renting. But she's a fantastic business owner, and she's actually been super involved in helping plan our First Thursdays.
Cool.
Which I appreciate, and I'll mention to any business owners or just community-minded folks, we have these First Thursday planning meetings, and the next one will be Wednesday, April 10th at 3 p.m. at City Hall.
Okay.
Just upstairs in that Mount Hood room. So
yeah.
You get your view of Mount Hood room.
Yeah.
Or, sorry, view of Mount Hood
yeah.
and beautiful conference room to discuss.
I mean, you can see the room too. I mean, you're in the room.
You have a view of the room.
Yeah.
And the mountain.
And the mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
But yeah, so what's Vanessa up to for First Thursday?
Keeping with our theme of art for April, Vanessa has invited in White Oak Photography as well as FOB Tap Room. So FOB will be serving beer and cider, and they've set up games. So it should be a really fun time over on Northwest 1st Ave.
Cool.
5 p.m. is when
we're going to be doing some drinking games.
Ooh.
Maybe trivia. They do trivia over there. But.
Frankie, you're going to have to show up to find out.
I will. I will have to find out. Not because you don't know. It's because you want to have the mystery. Yeah, that's good.
And then if you're in it for the bar crawl, you could head right further down towards Cutsforth's. They're going to be doing their monthly First Thursday happy hour.
Yeah.
And this one's exciting. I know Joel's excited about having Hands in Winery. Pouring and sampling their wine. You can get a glass, and then you can purchase their bottles on site there after your tasting. And then live music. So down in the wine bar, the jazz duo will be performing. Those are really fun events at Cutsforth's. Also 5 to 8 p.m.
Yeah, they've been... I think they're doing that for the whole series, and
I think
it's been really well received, the music and the wine. So
yeah, it was fun last month, and I believe they'll be somewhat mixing it up with the live music and definitely mixing it up with all of the local wineries, so that'll be exciting.
Cool.
Retro Revival, a stalwart of First Thursdays, keeping with the art theme, they are doing a make and take activity. So they've really expanded their section with all sorts of little craft goods.
Yeah, the mixed media.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Just looking for that word. Susie's gonna.
I just call it arts and crafts, but yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently it has a more professional name.
Yes, so. And that is right. So you can go and make some unique jewelry. It's really fun to look at all the little artifacts that they collect there.
It is cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then I'll just mention American Legion, actually every Thursday, but I want to promote it for First Thursdays as well. They have bingo on Thursday nights. That can be a lot of fun at the American Legion.
Yeah, cool. Well, it's nice. The weather's getting nicer. It'll be a great time to get out and maybe, I mean, there's some new businesses that are downtown and some older businesses that are maybe doing some new things worth checking out. One thing that I know about is that's happening tonight. And there's a video on our Facebook and other social media if you guys want to check it out. But Hair Fest and the Wild Hair Country Fest are doing a ticket giveaway at a dozen local businesses, I think many of them downtown. The full list will be with that video. But all you have to do is go to that business, and there's no cost or anything to enter. You drop it in the box, and you maybe win some tickets to those great festivals. So I think that's pretty cool. And tonight there will be, I guess, their street team out roaming around promoting the giveaway and just promoting the festival. So and having fun
and I love
being
that.
Crazy and hopefully not having the police called on them. So
I love that sort of cross-promotion between our businesses. Whether or not you're downtown, there's a way to get involved with downtown activities.
Yeah.
It's such a welcoming community, and if anyone's out there thinking that they want to get involved, get in touch with myself, Calvin LeSueur at the city, or Kyle at the chamber. Also helps out so much with First Thursdays, so awesome. It's exciting times.
Awesome. Thanks, Calvin. We'll see you out there.
All right.
Beer is practically an art form in the Pacific Northwest, and the FOB Taproom in Canby is one of the best places to enjoy all your old favorites and your new favorites. They have a constantly rotating selection of 36 of the best craft beer, ciders, and wines from right here in Oregon and around the world. Hey, Tyler, do you know what FOB stands for? That's right. It's Friends of Beer, and that's what they are.
Oh, well, the FOB Taproom also hosts an awesome trivia night on Wednesdays with tap takeovers and new release parties every month. There's always something going on, so come on by. Find them at the Canby Place on Southwest Berg Parkway and on Facebook and Instagram.
See you at the FOB. Adapted from a quote by Chief Edward F. Croker, New York Fire Department, circa 1910. I have no ambition in this world but one, and that is to be a firefighter. The position may, in the eyes of some, appear to be a lowly one, but we who know the work which the firefighter has to do believe that theirs is a noble calling. There is an adage which says that nothing can be destroyed except by fire. We strive to preserve from destruction the wealth of the world, which is the product of hard work and dedication, necessary for the comfort of both the rich and the poor. We are defenders from fires of the art which has beautified the world, the product of the genius of great people, and the means of the refinement of mankind. But above all, our proudest endeavor is to save lives of men, women, and children who are the work of God Himself. Under the impulse of such thoughts, the nobility of the occupation thrills us and stimulates us to deeds of daring, even at the supreme sacrifice. Such considerations may not strike the average mind, but they are sufficient to fill to the limit our ambition in life and to make us serve the general purpose of human society. So my guest on the Canby Conversation today, no one in Canby has ever heard of. His name's Todd Gary. He apparently has worked with Canby Fire District for a few years, a couple years.
Yeah, I've been both career and volunteer. I've been here for 30 years.
Wow. And you're about to retire.
I am about to retire.
Congratulations.
Yes,
so Division Chief Todd Gary with the Canby Fire District and also been serving as Fire Marshal.
Yeah, so yeah. my title is, I am the Division Chief in charge of Community Risk Reduction.
Okay.
is what my official title
gotcha,
is.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yes. You basically like officially retired at the end of last year, but you're kind of hanging around until this summer, right? Or
yeah, we're allowed to do a work back okay. for so many hours. So
yeah,
got half a year's worth of hours basically.
Yeah, I'll yeah. do a work well, back I'm for. Wanting to hear some stories. So,
okay.
Can you tell me the story of how you first got involved as a volunteer firefighter?
So yeah, I ran around with a friend of mine from childhood, and his dad was a volunteer.
You grew up here, right?
I grew up here, yeah. Yep. Actually, my forefathers founded Aurora, so
oh, really?
That's a whole other story.
For the colony.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dr. William Kyle was my great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So,
that's cool.
So we've been around here a little while.
Yeah.
Just a few days.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my friend.
So they kicked you out of Aurora and you had to
yeah, pretty
take
much.
A stock over here.
Kicked me to Cambie, so yeah. So my friend's dad was a volunteer and he would always run off to the fire station. And they lived pretty close, so we'd ride our bicycles then down to the fire station, watch the engines leave, hang out with the guys, do all that.
Right.
Probably when I was 9, 10 years old,
yeah.
we'd do that.
For sure.
And when I was about 15, 16 years old, I asked him, I said, why do you do that? You know, it didn't make sense. He didn't get paid for it. He didn't do anything, but seemed extremely dedicated to always when the fire whistle blew. We had a fire whistle, and there was a fire phone then too. The phone started ringing, and all the guys would pick up. And
yeah,
but I always, why do you do that? And
yeah.
we talked to him one day, and he goes, you know, Todd, he says, if I can make a difference on somebody's worst day, and I thought, wow, that's pretty powerful. If you can make a difference on somebody's worst day, so. I kind of kept that with me, and when I was old enough, and it was 21 at the time, I joined the fire department, and I've always kept that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
If I can make a difference on somebody's worst day, and a lot of times their worst day may be the day that the water pipes break in their house, and they are at the end of their wits, they don't know who else to call, and they call us, we go shut their water off, we help them clean it up. And that may be the worst day they've ever had because they've never had to call 911 before.
Right, so, right. Yeah, it's not always a fire. You guys do a lot of emergency medical calls and things, which are obviously still can be very traumatic, very stressful, very scary. Even if it turns out it's not something life-threatening, sometimes it's like, what's going on with my body, you know, can be a terrifying thing. So
yeah, and about 80% of what we do is that EMS.
Yeah.
Is running on medical calls. And sometimes it's... You know, a matter of holding somebody's hand on the way to the hospital.
Yeah.
That's all they really need. They just need somebody to be there for them.
Yeah, yeah. So that's so cool. Thanks for telling me that story of what kind of motivated you and inspired you along the way. Did you always want to be a firefighter from that? Because there are other ways that you can maybe make a difference.
I knew I wanted to be a volunteer.
Okay.
I had a great job. I worked for the city of Cambie.
Okay.
And I spent 18 years working for the city
what
of Cambie.
Did you do?
I worked at the wastewater treatment plant what did I work there? 10 years at the wastewater treatment plant and then worked in public works for 8 years.
Crappy job.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah,
it was a great job. I liked working for the city.
Okay.
And then I had the opportunity in 2003 to test for the fire department here and was lucky enough to be hired. And now I got the greatest job in the world.
Yeah.
And I've been here for, 15 years at the fire district. So full time.
Yeah.
So it's been great.
That's awesome. Another question I wanted to ask you, because you grew up here and you had this philosophy with your work of making a difference in people's lives, like it must be even all that much more meaningful that this is your community, like to your core, your great-great-grandparents founded the town down the road. The firefighters do incredible work, you know, make a difference wherever they are, but to be from Cambie and to be... You know, a job that you love so much and have it be Cambie Fire. What is that like?
It's been awesome.
Yeah.
It's been awesome. It's sometimes great and sometimes, you know, you see a lot of people that you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people you've grown up with. And,
for sure. Didn't think about that.
Parents side of it. And grandparents and those things.
There's not that distance sometimes that helps.
Yeah. And sometimes that's hard.
Yeah.
But then again, you're caring for that family.
Yeah.
And that really makes a difference. And I don't know anything different than Cambie.
Yeah.
I went to, 12 years of school here and worked here. I graduated from high school on Friday night and went to work for the city of Cambie on Monday. So, yeah, I know no different.
I've been outside of Kansas. It's not that great.
All right,
you're not
perfect.
You're not missing too much. Yeah. So New York City's okay, but anyway.
Yeah, I ain't going there.
Can you tell me a story or two about a time when you feel like you really did make a difference?
You know, there's lots of times you feel like you make a difference. There's times when you're just sitting with somebody, and it's not, to me, it's not those great big moments that you really make the difference. It may be the day that there's a car wreck and there's really nobody hurt, but you grab the umbrella out of your truck because it's pouring down rain, and you go, they don't want to get in your truck to hang out, but you stand there with the umbrella.
Yeah.
You know, those days, or the days when somebody has a house fire and you're working with them to get their claim started.
Yeah.
And I call their insurance company for them, and I get that claim going to get things going.
Yeah, because they just can't deal with that right now.
It's not time to deal with it.
Yeah.
And there's things that really strike home to me. I got one that was really, you know, it meant a lot to me, and it really changed the way I think about things, is I always ask somebody when we have a house fire and I'm with the family, if there's one thing I can get out of this house for you while we're fighting this fire, what is it? What is that one thing that I can get for you? And then I'll have the guys try to find that thing, whatever that is. And a lady told me out of everything in her house she wanted was a dried bouquet of roses. And I thought,
that's going to be tough. Bouquet of roses. In a fire.
And I'm like, okay, okay, where's it at? And she told me where it was at, and the guys went and got it.
Yeah,
and they brought it out to me, and I asked her. I said, "Can I ask?
Yeah,
you know what the meaning there?" Her son had died in the military.
Oh my gosh!
And that was a set of the roses that were given to her. And I thought, wow, you know, I always looked at, you know, what some people think is not important is extremely important to others, and to ask for that one thing.
And
people that are listening, if there's one thing in your house, think about what that one thing is.
Yeah, for sure. So, and she would not have, you brought that up. She wasn't going to ask you guys to do that. No. And that's something that absolutely would not have survived a fire.
No.
You know, that would have been gone. So, wow, talk about making a difference. That's incredible.
Yeah, and those are the great things that, you know, you talk about, you know, there's the huge fires and we've been on these and we've been on that. Yeah. But those are the things that make a difference.
For sure.
Those are the things that are important to me and for my career.
Yeah. Well, I'm very interested in history. Uh-huh. As you know, we've talked about, you know, we do, when I have time to write the stories, we do a history segment on this show. And we did some looking into the Canby fire history, which was very interesting. But I'm curious, I know you really are into the history as well, and you grew up here and have been part of Canby Fire for a long time. Are there interesting stories, interesting people that have maybe mentored you that you want to shout out or that you feel like their stories haven't really been told?
You know, we've had some great chiefs at Canby Fire. And I've been here through quite a few of them. Smitty French was the first chief.
Yeah.
The first chief we had. And then Jack Stark was another great chief. And
I've seen their names in old newspapers.
Yeah. And Ted Koontz, the chief right before Chief Davis, they all had a different way about them, and they were all really important and really important to me in my career. And then there was friends, you know, Ron Robinson, Paul Alexich, some of those names that were volunteers, and a lot of those guys were Portland firefighters at the time, and really I learned a lot. Wayne Austin, which is still you know, still around here, I've learned a lot from Wayne. You know, I always think that you can get something from everybody.
Yeah.
You know, if you take a little bit from
you're
somebody.
Open to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you look there deep enough, you will grab something from everybody.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of great firefighters that have been here.
Yeah.
Through the years that have just taught me a tremendous amount and got me to this point of being a division chief, which, and Troy Bozalski.
Yeah.
How can I forget Troy? I would never be sitting here talking to you like this without Troy's push on the media side of things.
Oh, really?
Because I was pretty, didn't want to do any of that.
Well, so let's talk about that, because you are the media guy. Yeah. I first met you through Twitter, which I've never, your approach to the media is much more, is so appreciated, but it's much more open and friendly, not that other people I've talked to are mean or whatever, but just there's that discomfort. There's that lack of necessarily openness, not because they're trying to hide things, but just because they don't want to say the wrong thing. They don't want to overstep or whatever. Maybe there's a little fear, you know, and you don't seem to have that. And maybe it's just because you get the experience by the time I had finally met you. But that was always really appreciated. I think we've 90 before now, like 98% of our communication has been through Twitter.
Yeah.
But so I have always appreciated that from you, and I'm upset that you're retiring because of that. But pass that on to whoever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so how did you get into that, and what has been kind of defined your philosophy and approach?
So you guys have a job to do just like I do.
Yeah.
You know, the media is looking for a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I can give them a lot of that. I can't give them everything all the time.
Right.
But I can give you a lot.
Yeah.
And there's no reason I shouldn't give you that story. I find with the, you know, the news media, the Portland news media, the news channels, if you don't help them and you don't work them and you don't give them a story, they're going to find the story.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it may not be the story you want to give.
Yeah.
And if I give you the story and I give you the story I want to give,
their job's done.
Their job's done. They're not out searching for that story.
Right.
Because I always laugh. And somebody said, you know who the news media looks for in a flood? They look for the guy with the chest waders and an umbrella. He's the smartest guy they can possibly find to talk to.
Right.
You know,
the person who's prepared.
Yeah. So if I can give them that story, and that's one of the things Troy Buzalski taught me.
Yeah.
Is give them that story. Work with them. The media is awesome. It's so fun.
Yeah.
And you get that relationship and that working. I had all four news channels. I was called to be the PIO on the big fire in Molalla.
Mm-hmm.
And I had
this one at the downtown Molalla,
the downtown
Bentley's, and
we had the fatality, and we had the couple of buildings burn, and I was called to be the PIO on that.
Yeah,
and I had all the news channels there, and I had phone calls from the radio stations and all that, but they were never a problem. Everybody's going, how can you keep them? Because I had a media area, and then I brought them. I gave them a story.
Yeah,
I gave them everything they needed to make their story, so there was no reason for them to go anywhere. There was no reason to be sneaky. There was no reasons to do anything. Right. They had the story.
Right.
And I learned Troy was one of those people.
Yeah.
Give them the story. Get them in as close as we can. We're going to get them in there. We're going to give them what they need.
Yeah.
And that's important. It's important for everybody.
Yeah.
It's important for Canby Fire.
Yeah.
To get that correct story out there.
Yeah.
And it's marketing too.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
I'm a marketing guy.
You
also
are a marketing guy. Well, and the social media, like, was that an adjustment for you? I don't want to out you. You're a little bit of an older guy. Like,
oh.
You still got some years.
Yeah.
But again, that's not something you necessarily see in my experience with smaller town fire departments or other even just city governments and things,
right.
that familiarity and that comfort with using social media to tell these stories, to communicate information.
Yeah, I use social media a couple different ways. You'll never see on Canby Fire's Facebook a car wreck, mm-hmm. and you'll never see a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't believe that you want to go there to see your kid's car wrecked or something like that. You want to see what your friends are doing, maybe get some news from other – and I don't care if other – people pick that up and do that with it. I use Twitter for that.
Yeah.
I feel Twitter's more of a news feed for me.
Yeah.
So I use them a little differently. And I use Facebook for my feel-good things. And also if I want to get information out.
Yeah.
If I want to get something out, you know, a safety message.
Right. Advisories, press releases, you use it for that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I use stuff. And I'm doing Instagram now just because of the difference in demographics. So.
Yeah.
But
I've been learning Instagram too. It's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just different.
Yeah.
Throw a couple posts out every once in a while.
Cool.
But yeah, I've kind of adapted, I would say, to that.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Yeah.
I like doing the social media.
Firefighting is a dangerous profession. Have you ever been scared? Have you ever experience that scared you?
I would say on all your fires, you should have a little bit of fear.
Yeah.
You know, that keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
I think I'm more aware and have that little bit of scared in me as a command officer.
Yeah. For other people.
For more than I was when I was a firefighter.
Yeah.
Because you're more in control of your destiny as a firefighter.
Right.
As a as a command officer, I'm telling people to do things.
Yeah.
And I'm putting them into places that sometimes I know and sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
So I think those things scare me.
Yeah.
You know, I really care about the people I work with and everybody around me. So those are the things that kind of get me sometimes.
Sure.
But
sure.
I think scared-wise, that's probably scared.
Yeah.
Been scared out on the highway in the ice, you know, we get those icy times and you'll be on a car wreck or something and somebody slides past you.
Yeah, right.
Those are, you know, some of those pucker moments.
Yeah, for sure.
But
you have a reputation from what I hear of being a little bit of a prankster, a little bit of a jokester around the firehouse.
I like to have fun.
Tell me some stories about that.
Oh, gosh.
Let's move away from the death and destruction, right?
You know, I like to give, especially the new guys.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give them a little hard time, especially when they're doing a presentation or something.
Okay.
Oh, really? Yeah. They'll be doing their presentation, and I'll, oh, really? And then write something down. It doesn't mean anything I'm writing down, but they're staring at me like, oh no!
What did I say wrong? Re-examining every word they said.
Oh, yeah. Like, so I like to play those kind of games.
Yeah.
And there's just.
So you're somebody I would hate. So.
Yeah. There's just fun things. You know, the fire station is one of those places that you do joke around a lot.
Yeah.
And there's a lot going on.
Gotta get the tension out sometimes.
Big, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just part of being on shift.
Yeah.
Is the joking around.
Yeah.
But
yeah. You've got to have some funny stories of things that have happened. Is there anything?
Gosh, I'm trying to think. You know, one of the calls that was kind of funny, we had a cow in a well.
What?
The cow fell in the well.
A big well. Was it a small cow or a big well?
No, it was a big well. It was like an old dug well.
Yeah.
And had boards on top. The cow walked on the boards and down he went.
I can see how that would happen.
And he was quite a ways down.
Was he okay?
Yeah, he ended up being okay. Yeah. But we had a high angle rescue team come in. We went and got a crane.
Yeah.
The
so
whole
this was
thing.
A steer or was it a?
It was a steer.
Okay. Yeah. Come on, but, rodeo man. You got to know.
Yeah. So that was when Troy was here. And anytime you can get a critter, that's a news story.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that's going to hit big time.
I already have like pun headlines running through my head.
It actually hit national news, but we pulled the cow up.
Yeah.
Steer. It was a steer.
Yeah.
And we
steer clear.
We ended up naming it. So we had to have a name for the darn thing. We asked the people that owned it, does it got a name? They're like, no, it doesn't got a name. Well, it does now.
Yeah.
So we I can't even remember what we named it, but we named it gave it a name.
Lucky.
And it went, I mean, it was on national news, the cow in the well.
Yeah.
So that was a
good
great
one.
Story. It was, yeah.
Man, I can't believe I didn't come across that one. That would have been a good one for our history series. But
yeah, that was, like I said, that was national news.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a lot of funny stuff. I've had a lot of pictures. I take a lot of photos out on scenes. And been lucky enough to have some of those. It was funny. Somebody called. Shoot, they were from like back east and called. And they had been a resident of Canby years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I seen you guys on the news.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
Yeah.
We were on USA Today. We were the headline picture.
What?
Yeah.
Because it was a cow thing?
No, this was a simple car wreck in the snow.
Oh.
The car was over that we said the camp. It was a perfect picture. It had camp fire, had guys, compassion, the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
But they called her, and that was a few years ago in the snow.
Yeah.
But it was a nothing.
Yeah.
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 USA Today.
They were hard up for news that day.
Yeah.
What do we put on the front page?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have this picture. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It was awesome.
Leads. Cool. Well, what's next for Division Chief Todd Gary?
So, what's next? I'm a part owner in a feed store.
Mm-hmm.
So, NV Feed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little, you know.
Little plug.
Little plug there,
again,
you know.
With the marketing, man.
Yeah,
come on.
Absolutely.
No, I love NV. We get our pellets from you guys.
So I'll
you
be
deliver.
I'll be out there. Yeah, we do deliver. I'll be out there working.
Yeah.
Hanging out there. I got 5 grandkids.
So next time I call for a ton of pellets, is it going
to
be you?
I may be the guy to deliver some.
Okay.
We'll see.
Cool. I'll tell you where to put them.
Yeah, I know.
I used to help, but I don't.
You just watch now.
Yeah, no, I just watch.
Yeah, that's my son-in-law that delivers. He just loves that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But, be doing that, hanging out.
Is it fun to learn something new after all these years?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
And doing some fishing. doing some of that stuff.
Cool. Good for you.
Take grandkids and hang out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Enjoy life.
Yeah. Any last words from Division Chief Todd?
No, I don't think so. You know, I'm still going to be around the community doing different things. I'm a member of the Kiwanis, so I'll still be hanging out with my Kiwanians and doing that stuff. And I love this community. Yeah. Been around here a long time. It's kind of strange. I'm kind of switching communities a little bit in the Molalla. And it's different.
Envy is Malino?
No, we're in Molalla.
They are Molalla. Okay. Yeah.
So it'll be different. Yeah. Big change for me.
Yeah.
But I'm excited, looking forward to it, and moving ahead.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for talking to us. Absolutely. This was really fun. Thank you for all that you've done for our community over the years and continue to do, and make sure the new PIO uses Twitter. So.
Yes, we're working on that.
The great outdoors. Sometimes you just gotta get away to a place where life is simpler. The air is clean and the nearest ringing phone is about a million miles away. One of the best places that we found is My Cowboy Cabin near Joseph, Oregon, in the heart of the Eagle Cap Wilderness.
Eagle Cap is the largest unspoiled wilderness area in Oregon, with breathtaking views of granite mountains and crystal clear lakes, and more than 500 miles of trails to explore. It's one of the premier hiking, fishing, and hunting destinations in the Pacific Northwest. My Cowboy Cabin is open from Memorial Day weekend through Labor Day weekend, and can be reserved on a weekly or monthly basis, depending on availability. With a cabin that sleeps up to 8 people,
and also a teepee that sleeps 8 or more.
That's right. It's perfect for family vacations, retreats, reunions, and more. Find out more at mycowboycabin.com.
True story. When we first started the Can Be Now podcast, we were looking to buy some stickers. Just something to help us get our name out there. We didn't have a lot of money, so we tried to do everything as cheaply as possible online. We wound up with 1,000 of these teeny tiny cheap looking stickers. Not exactly the impressive swag we were hoping for, but you know, you get what you pay for.
Yes, you do. If we had been smart, we would have gone to see Carrie at Promotional Strategies. She's a real live human and a creative genius who will deliver practical, strategic ways to promote your business on any budget. If you're looking for high quality swag that you can be proud to see your logo on, Promotional Strategies is where you want to go. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby or online at ps266swag.com. Okay, I'm out and about at the Canby Liquor Store with the co-owner, Heather Dorn. How are you, Heather?
Good, thank you.
Good. You got a couple things going on this month of April. I was wondering if you could tell us about the bagless thing, first of all?
Yeah, we're starting a new promotion where we're trying to celebrate Earth Month. We've expanded the day of Earth.
It was just Earth Day. What are we talking about?
Yes, so we've expanded it to Earth Month. We're not the only ones that are expanding it. Yeah. We got the idea from something else, but we're attempting to go bagless with our customers. We're trying to get away from the habits that people have always had, as well as the thought process that people think that your liquor has to leave the store in a bag. Mm.
Yeah. So there is no sort of requirement or law about that. Like, I think
there was. There used to be an Oregon law, and it was disbanded, I believe, about 7 years ago.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So you can actually purchase beer and wine at another store as well, and it does not have to be in a bag.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I think I thought that was the case as well. That it had to be in a bag.
It's just for open container. Okay. It's still not allowed. Cool. You know, outside in public.
Yeah. Cool. What's kind of your desire as far as breaking those habits? I mean, like, obviously, it's good to kind of look at traditions, look at habits, see if they make sense. But when you looked at this, you found some benefits, I think, to, all around of going
bagless. Well, even for myself, if I go to the grocery store and I buy a loaf of bread, it automatically comes home in a plastic bag, and it just seems like it's a habit. Yeah. I automatically pull the bread out of the bag, put my plastic bag into my recycling that I take back to the grocery store to recycle. But not everybody does that.
Yeah.
So if you are purchasing something that's small that you can just carry with your own hands, why not go bagless? Why not just set it, in the back seat of your car, drive it home, put it straight into your cabinet?
Sure. And it feels like there's probably quite a bit of cost associated with all these bags that only get used from the store to the car, or maybe the car to the home, and then you're done with them.
So from a retailer's perspective, I can tell you that a plastic bag actually costs fractions of pennies, which is why most retailers use it.
Okay.
However, they are becoming illegal in a lot of different counties, yeah. especially in Salem that just started yesterday. Yep. When you go to a paper bag, however, they are anywhere from 3 to 15 cents a bag.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is why back in Salem they're now charging. And I think it's really just to create new habits because yeah. if you're having to pay addition for something, then, you know, why not just remember to reuse the paper bag you already purchased earlier and give it a longer lifespan, or remember to use your reusable, recyclable totes.
Yeah. Cool. And what about just the impact on the environment? That's obviously a big piece, yeah. I would imagine.
Well, lessening our carbon footprint, even just with the manufacturing, it's more the manufacturing that actually creates the damage to the environment than the actual recycling garbage. Okay. Obviously, there's been a lot of things in the news or media about the harm in our oceans with the whales eating the plastic and the dolphins getting their nose stuck in it. And same thing with the straws.
The sea turtles getting stuck in bags.
And they're saying that even though things can be properly thrown away, that somehow they end up getting out of the garbage can, blown away, and somehow make it to the ocean.
Sure. So just kind of cutting that off at the source and preventing those from even going into the waste stream is
yeah,
a great way
so just
to stop
really
that.
It's a back to creating new habits for yeah. people. And we've been trying to tell all of our customers too, who seem to be very excited and very polite about it.
Interested in it.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, oh, I didn't know that I didn't need a bag, but okay, I'm totally fine with this. And yeah. I keep telling customers that I'm challenging them that when you go to the grocery store, if you don't need a bag, don't use one.
Yeah.
Or if you are buying multiple things, try using your reusable totes. Or if I send a customer out of the store with a paper bag, yeah. I've been asking them, please give this bag more life. I'm sure you can use it at least three more times before it goes into the recycling.
Sure. So people have been kind of doing what you were hoping, sort of like, oh, I was just expecting a bag, but now I think about it,
absolutely,
I don't need one.
Yeah. We actually started this about a week and a half before April 1st.
Okay,
so
just
we're
piloted a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, we did, just to kind of get the feeler out there, and I feel like I could give it a 98% mark that
really?
People are very excited about it, or just receptive and kind about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
We still
That's
have
really
people
cool.
that old habits are hard to break.
Sure.
We definitely are offering bags to people when they physically can't carry. You know, they're purchasing more than what their two hands can carry.
Yeah.
But we also are always generous with our boxes because they're going to the recycling anyway.
Right.
So if there's any way that we can just reuse those and get things home safely for customers, we love sharing those.
The old Costco method.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks so much, Heather. That's a
Thank
great
you.
Idea. And yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun.
And we want to welcome any local businesses in Canby or outside of Canby, small business, large business, that if you're interested in trying out this Earth Month bagless idea, we had some posters made. We'd love to share our posters and try to just create new habits amongst for everybody.
Okay, cool. So people could contact you here at the store?
Or? Yeah, you can call me here at the store, or you can look at us through Facebook. I'm sure hopefully we're easy to find.
Yeah, absolutely. Canby Liquor Store. Easy enough. So.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Heather.
Okay, thank you.
Happy Easter.
Growing up, they made cartoons about everything. Yeah, even toys. They made cartoons about the backstories of toys. And it must have worked, because I still remember watching and playing with my G.I. Joes, Transformers, and Mighty Max. Yeah, that's right, Mighty Max, I said it. Go look it up on Google. I say this because last night I went and saw Shazam, a movie starring Zachary Levi as the titular character and Mark Strong as his antagonist. The story is pretty simple, formulaic you can even say. Guy has what others don't, the right stuff, the will, the something, 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 in this case it's a pure heart. He gets superpowers, learns about himself and powers, and has to overcome personal dramas to defeat the bad guy. Seriously, it's a superhero movie, and it hits the tropes like a superhero hits bad guys. It's a terrible joke, but whatever. Again, you might be wondering why I brought up the cartoons, and I'll explain. This movie, while formulaic, was fun. It was bright and funny. It had an approachable style that makes it difficult in some places, but entertaining without pandering. This movie got me really excited about going out to my nearest comic book store and picking up a copy of Shazam. This movie is a great commercial. After I saw Batman, Superman, Suicide Squad, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Justice League, I said, hey, that was pretty good. I hope they do better next time. It's an interesting story that they told. They must have had fun writing it. Shazam was a movie that took all of its source from the comic books. They made a movie that didn't reinvent every character. They took familiar and made it fun. I legit started looking online last night for what collections I should pick up to start reading the story. Now let's get back to the nitpicky stuff. The bad guy, Dr. Something. And he is exactly how I just described him. He's a doctor of something, I guess. He has father issues, and that's about all we get to find out about him. The movie starts by showing a very dark backstory of his, and it was really good. Then there's a great follow-up scene where he begins to go 100% bad. After that, he becomes a Terminator robot. And that's about it. And Terminator robot as in, like, the acting style, not he becomes a robot. Like, he just doesn't act super well. I mean, he acts well, but the character... Okay, you know what? I'm just gonna drop it. It's sad, too, because Mark Strong is an amazing actor who should have been able to have way more fun with this bad guy. Now, the scene where he does go 100 super bad is super good visual effects. The characters that he controls and the imagery of terror that he inspires is insanely good. Seriously, I was really impressed by that. Zachary Levi, the main character, such a good actor, and in this film, he did do a good job. Except his angry face, which reminds me of my nephew filling his diaper. I mean, I know it's harsh, but literally I laughed out loud when I saw him make his angry face at one point. Other than that, he did a great job of being a kid who wants to be a superhero but doesn't understand what it takes to be a real hero. Despite some visual drawbacks and some formulaic and stale film bombs, I really enjoy the movie and recommend it. It has a lot of heart and a great message. It's funny and it enjoys itself. If you're looking for a fun DC movie, because how often do you get one of those? Then zip down to the theater and shout, Shazam! P.S. Don't actually go down and shout at the theater employees. They're just doing their jobs. Don't make it harder on them.
So I'm here with Derek Hill, president of Advantage Mortgage in Canby. I was wondering what's going on in the mortgage industry right now.
The mortgage industry is on fire right now. The big thing that's really exciting for us is that we are now an independent mortgage broker, which means that we can offer substantially lower rates and lower fees for our customers. For example, we just got a loan last week and the realtor said, hey, I think you should go talk to Derek at Advantage Mortgage. And sure enough, we got the borrower 3/4 better rate, and we saved them 14 grand in fees.
Cool. So where can people find you?
So office number is 503-266-5800, or they can find us on the web at findtheadvantage.com. But most people just give us a holler or they stop in.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Derek.
You bet. Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 1770599. Derek Hills, NMLS number 50183. Equal housing opportunity.
Don't you hate it when you're just getting caught up on your favorite show and then your video streaming service drops it without warning? Wouldn't it be cool if you could record unlimited programs at once and watch them whenever and wherever you want? Meet Easy Video from DirectLink, the only app-based TV service in Canby that includes most of the major live local broadcast channels, sports, and national networks. Easy Video is, well, easy. It's compatible with your Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smartphone, and laptop, so you have more options for how and where you watch TV. And the best part of all, Easy Video members save an average of $360 a year over traditional cable. Say goodbye to HD fees, DVR fees, equipment rentals, and costly installation. Go to directlink.coop/EZV or visit them at the corner of Southeast 2nd and Juniper Street in Canby to learn more about the future of TV.
And that's our show. Special thanks to our guests today, Division Chief Todd Gary, Calvin Lesser, and Heather Dorn, and to all of our sponsors who really make it possible to do what we do. We encourage you to check them out and help support the local small businesses who support us. Hey, if you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episode.
In our next episode, we'll bring you the story of Kevin McCarthy. He's a local speaker, author, and businessman who spent 33 months in federal prison for his involvement in the worst investment fraud in the history of the state of Washington, even though he didn't know it was a scam at the time.
So what was prison like?
Prison was probably the best experience I've ever had in my life. And I'm not saying that tongue-in-cheek. I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or suggestions of how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CanBeNow, or on our website, CanBeNowPod.com.